You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Dennis Fleming from Farmington, New Hampshire. Dennis, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Is it okay if I call you Dennis, or would you prefer Mr. Fleming?
Oh, Dennis is fine.
Okay, thank you, sir. I had been reading online relatively recently. I saw an article about you, actually. The headline was, "Grandfather now facing jail after using his own gun to nab a robber." That was one headline. There were a couple articles on it. I want to get into that in a second, but for the benefit of the listeners, give them a little history about who you are, where you're from, and what are you doing, so on and so forth.
Well, I've pretty much lived in New Hampshire my whole life. I lived a year in Connecticut, but I pretty much lived up here. This is the family farm. My grandfather bought it in the 40s, and I've lived up here, oh gosh, for the last almost 40 years.
Okay. The article says, "Neighbors are calling him a hero, but police say he was reckless and possibly deserving of jail time, just like the burglar he helped catch." On February 18th, what exactly happened?
Well, I went to my daughter's lunch. She invited me over to lunch because it was kids there, grandkids, great-grandkids, and it's nice to get together. So I went over for lunch. We wrapped up. I got home here about 1:45, just approximately a few minutes either way of 1:45. And the minute I walked in my house, you can tell, drawers are open, stuff on the counter, stuff on my gear, and you could tell instantly they'd been broken into. So I was walking around the house, and I said, what the heck? Trying to figure out if anything was missing. I went to see my important stuff. You know, I have important stuff here, but I keep hidden. And I couldn't find anything missing. Called my daughter. I says, I'm never going to move for lunch again. I says, I got broke into, just kidding around, you know.
Right.
She said, you're kidding. I said, no, I can't see anything missing, but I'm still looking. Well, about 10 to 15 minutes after I got home, I saw a kid or a guy walking down the road on the same side of the road as my house, probably 100 feet from my house, with a knapsack over his shoulder. I didn't pay any attention. I said, well, it couldn't have been him. I've been home for 10 to 15 minutes. Well, come to find out, he was in my house when I got home, upstairs. He ended up jumping out my second floor window, broke his heel, and went down the road 200 yards, broke into another house. So anyhow, I said, no, it couldn't have been him. So I looked around for a few more minutes trying to figure anything missing. And I said, well, maybe he was him. Maybe he was hiding out back of the house and found a good time to leave or something. I don't know. So I jumped in my truck. I drove down the road about a mile looking for him. Couldn't find him anywhere. So I turned around, came back up, opened my driveway. I came in the house. I grabbed my gun. I said, well, maybe he's still in the neighborhood.
What kind of gun?
It was a .38 Smith & Wesson, strictly okay. For personal protection.
Right.
Well, we don't have many houses up here. I mean, I've got one next to me, but probably within a half a mile, there's no more than 8 or 10 houses.
Right.
Because we're a very rural area. We're right at the end of town. So I come home, grab my gun. I said, well, I'm going to take a walk down, talk to the neighbors. And I walked in this little trailer park with only 2 or 3 trailers, not really a trailer park. And I went in and talked to the guy, and he said, I've been here all day. I haven't seen a soul. Now, his driveway is about 200 feet long. I come back out to the tar road, and I'm looking around. He says, well, maybe he had an accomplice that picked him up, or maybe he hitchhiked, caught a ride. I don't know. Well, just then I heard behind me, crash, bang, boom. Well, he had come out of another red house. It's probably 50 feet from the driveway leading to the trailer. It's the last house in town, 100 feet from the town line. And crash, bang, boom, and he falls out the window, comes across 20 feet of lawn, through 30 feet of spare woods, because the leaves are all off the trees. I could see him. He never saw me. And he came out probably 10 or 12 feet from me. Now, if I'd had 50 or 60 feet, I might have been able to think, okay, now how do I want to capture this guy? But he came out, took a step or two towards me, never saw me. I fired in the ground and told him, stop right there, down on the ground. He was very compliant from then on. Well, that would be too, you know?
You just fired into, like, the grass and the dirt?
Well, it was kind of like in the woods. And I'm sure, even though I don't specifically remember picking out my target, I mean, I've had guns all my life. And I wouldn't have fired if there had been a big rock there or anything. It was all ground. When I went back to look at it and I looked, it was all clear. You know, I mean, it was all trees and stuff like that. I fired into the ground and probably 8 or 10 feet to my right and his left, because we were facing each other. And I fired in the ground, told him not to move. And he didn't.
Now, how did you know about him being inside your home?
I didn't know that at the time. After I captured him, people calling 911 from everywhere around me, of course. Guys up from the other house and the guy from the trailer. The red house he'd actually broken into would come out the back window. That guy had come home also, which drove him out the back window of that red house. So I didn't know after the police came, arrested him, talked to us for a while, probably 2 hours later on tour. He's gone home and see if he can find anything missing. So I went home and looked downstairs, and then I went upstairs and checked my upstairs rooms, and I could tell him he'd been up there. He comes up, I'll grab some pocket watches of my father who passed away in 99, and little simple stuff, and I noticed my back window wide open. So he had jumped out the back window of my house, landed on the ground. It was about 15 feet, and he broke his heel when he landed. And that's the only reason I knew that he was in my house, because he jumped out my back window. And then I saw his tracks leading away from the house. It was a little bit of snow, not much. I could easily see where his tracks led out to the road.
Pretty amazing that the guy has a broken heel and he's still continuing with his burglaries.
Well, whatever his problem, I guess he admitted to the police that he was an addict. Whether he was under a controlled substance then, I am not sure, but he never saw me come across the woods, and he should have. Yeah, I wouldn't think you'd go 200 yards away hurting like he was and break into another house. Kind of dumb, actually. And then I called the police at 7:30 that night to ask if this guy was going to be released on bail, because I was worried about a vendetta. Hey, this guy caught me, I'm going to go up there with a couple of my buddies. You know, I just wasn't sure.
Right.
So I called him up and asked him, hey, what's going on? Is he going to be released? No, he's in jail. He's got 10,000 cash bail. And he says, but I'm making out paperwork now. We're going to have to arrest you for reckless conduct. And I says, well, all right, when you get the paperwork done, give me a call. And they did. I didn't realize at the time it was going to be a felony. I had no idea. I shot into the ground. I mean, what can they give me? That can't be that much. I was wrong.
When you called the police, you told them exactly what happened, that you fired your gun into the ground, and that's why he said, oh, I'm going to have to come there and arrest you. They didn't know that you fired the gun into the ground until you told them, right?
Well, they did, because a 911 call said there was a guy out there firing shots, which was me, and waving the gun wildly in the air, because the guy in the red house had no idea. He didn't know if I was a burglar or what was going on. He had no idea. So we called him, this guy firing out here, waving the gun around. I mean, there was four crews there within a few minutes, from Rochester and Farmington. It was pretty well bracketed. That's when they knew, the 911 calls, they knew I shot at that point.
You were there when the cops got there, right?
Oh, yes.
And did they say anything to you at that point?
He took me off the side, and he said, even though I'm not inclined to charge you, it's not going to be up to me, because he's just the officer on duty. The sergeant, they got to hold the county attorney and the deputy county attorney, whoever it was for the weekend, says, well, we're going to have to charge him with reckless conduct. They said, hey, you can drive up here if you want to. So that's what I did. I drove to the police station. The police were absolutely wonderful to me. I have no complaints against the police department at all.
Mm-hmm.
They did what they felt they had to, and I have no high spot with them at all. I drove up to the police station about 9:30 that night. They explained the whole thing. They're going to have to arrest me. Did the fingerprinting, interviewed me, video and audio. Read me my rights and all that stuff. They did the whole thing. That was about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then they followed me home and grabbed all my guns, all my rifles and all that stuff. Because as a bad felon, I'm not supposed to have firearms.
How many guns do you have?
I had 7 rifles and my 1 handgun.
I guess the rifles are for hunting, right?
Well, exactly. I had a 30-06 rifle. I had a couple of 12-gauge shotguns. I had a muzzle loader. A couple of 22s my father had. Just plinking around, that's all.
Right.
And an old antique gun, an 1860 32 rimfire, hexagon barrel gun that hadn't fired. I can't remember the last time it fired. I was given it when I was like 12, 15 years old. And my grandfather never fired it. His grandfather had given it to him.
Wow.
And to me, you know, it was an old gun. I mean, it probably still would fire. Mechanically, it's pretty good shape.
That's pretty cool. So you get there at like 9:30.
Yeah.
You get out of there about 11, 11:30.
Yes.
They came to your home. They took all your guns.
Yes.
Had you ever gone through this type of thing before, being arrested?
Oh, geez, no.
So in your whole life, you had never been arrested?
No, I lived a pretty law-abiding life. I couldn't even speed.
After that happened, what was the next significant event? Now, this was, of course, February 18th, Saturday, and this is going into, obviously, Sunday, because the cops are probably in your home getting your guns. It probably took a little while, right?
Well, they left just about midnight. I tried to go to sleep. That's pretty hard, because I was all cranked up.
Right.
So the next day, I was sitting here kind of quiet and everything, because I talked to my kids. My kids were all, they arrested you. I can't believe they arrested you. Then Channel 9 News, Mantis and the Amp showed up. What do you want? What are you doing here? Well, you know, you're a hero. We want to interview. So they interviewed me. I'm kind of surprised it went that far.
Right.
You know, news, and then I get dates from Boston the next day and calls from Chicago to do radio interviews. They go, what is going on? I didn't realize just what a hot button issue this turned out to be. I had no idea it was going to be like this. People were up in arms. Like I said, I get called from Utah, many letters from California, New Mexico, Arizona. Hey, if you need help with money for your defense, there's my phone number. Call me. It was just unbelievable.
Are they still coming in, the letters and calls?
No, but I'm having people recognize me that I've never even seen before, coming up taking my hand in Walmart or hand at his grocery store or something like that. I didn't realize that this would happen. Who would figure?
Right, that it was, like you said, that
you
it was a hot button issue, but apparently it is.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So you did all these interviews, and after that was done, what was the next significant thing that happened?
A girl I'd known for a long time, a friend of mine's daughter, stopped in with a letter from a lawyer saying, look, this guy will represent you for nothing, Fred Catalfo in Dover. Here's his number. So I called him, and that's when he recommended me after I've done, I don't know how many interviews. Don't talk to the press until they call me. You haven't said anything to hurt you, because all I did was I tried to be truthful. And all my interviews and everything else, including that I was wrong for going after this guy, I didn't call the police first. But one thing, I thought he was gone, and there's no sense calling the police. We're at the far end of town. When I caught him, he was 100 feet from the town line. He'd get over that town line and over a little hill 100 feet beyond that, and he'd been gone forever.
Right.
I figured if I call the cops, they will never get here in time. So I went looking for him, which is the wrong thing to do. Another thing, I was angry. And weapons and anger do not go along. Because you do things when you're angry that what you wouldn't if you were a clear head. And I was angry. Even though I didn't threaten him, other than to say, after he stopped, you move, I was used to, well, I want to reach in my pocket. Don't reach into your pocket. I was angry, and that does not mix. And I should have known that. I did know that. And especially in the afterwards, that anger and weapons, like booze and weapons,
right,
does not go along.
You don't think you would have shot him, right? If he put his hand in his pocket or if he took off.
I wouldn't have done him if he'd taken off. If he'd have come at me, I don't know what I would have done. Thank God he didn't put me in that position.
Right.
It's like you say, he was 10 or 12 feet from me. I fired in the ground, he stopped. What would I have done if he'd come right at me? What if he'd have pulled a knife out of his pocket and come at me?
Right.
I just don't know. Like I say, I'm thankful he did not put me in that position, because I wouldn't want another person's life in that situation to be on my shoulders. And the 911 operator told me, please don't have your gun in your hand when the police get there. Because all I heard was shots fired.
Right.
So I unloaded my weapons, I went on the stone wall. By then there was two other guys, so I wasn't worried about that guy going anywhere. We easily could have restrained him.
Right. Did you know that guy?
No, I didn't know him. He had moved down from up north in Osby, New Hampshire. I'm not sure how long before, but he was living with his grandmother in Farmington.
What was the next significant thing that happened?
I went in and talked to the lawyer, because I had only talked to him over the phone, and that's when I found out the county attorney had not brought all charges. In other words, he threw everything out. I was pretty sure in my heart they would never indict me for it. But like I say, you never know.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen.
What happened after that?
I had to do a bunch of interviews. But within an hour and a half of them dropping the charges, the Farmington Police Department called me, your weapons are ready, you can come up and get them anytime you want. So that same day, I went up and got all my guns back.
That's it. That's the end of the saga.
Yeah, since then, things have quieted down, like I say, except for local people. I mean, I could not believe the support I got from everywhere. Not just New Hampshire, not just my town, but New England, the country. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot of people were angry when they read that.
I just didn't expect that reaction from people. One whole day in our local newspaper was letters from all over the country. I mean, none in New Hampshire. They were from all over the country. What is the matter with them Keystone cops? Plus the police chief and the county prosecutor received a lot of, we'll say, threats. People were really emotionally fired up over this.
That might have been what led them to drop the charges.
Well, I'd like to think emotions don't dictate the law, but they might have had something to do with it. But I'd like to think it didn't. I'd like to think he looked at the merits of the charges and realized that it wasn't actually based in fact. Or they found out that it wasn't the right thing to do. But who knows? It's an election year.
And, of course, without you, this guy would have got away.
He was 100 feet from the town line, and he would have been absolutely gone. And one other thing he's done is he took, I'm not sure if it was the Farmington police or the county attorney or whatever. I robbed that house. I robbed that house. I robbed that house. So they solved at least 10 other burglaries besides these with that one guy. He admitted to 10 more. Who knows how many beyond that he actually committed.
It was all thanks to you.
Well, I was the one that caught him, yeah. He might have been eventually caught, but they did solve a few burglaries, and I'd like to think I was a part of that.
Yeah. Did the police chief or anybody else thank you for what you did?
What I did was wrong. So officially, they couldn't thank me. And one thing I was very careful about, like I say, I was angry, I didn't call the police first, is not the right thing to do. But you've got to watch your neighborhoods, because it's impossible for the police to catch these burglars. Unless they have an eyewitness or they get caught in the act. They're in, nobody's home, and they're home. You see a guy walking down the street, you think nothing of it. These guys are very hard to catch, and I'm glad I got this guy off the street, because he's got a long record.
You did a great thing, and as is evidenced every day in this country, you cannot depend on the police to handle every matter. And you guys have been having a rash of burglaries there, too, so I guess the economy is hitting your towns, too.
The economy, and a lot of it's drugs. Drug use today isn't like it was 15, 20 years ago. Guy was on Codeine or something like that. It's different. Now they're after these OxyContin pills. The addiction to them is quite strong. I don't know. It's not the same.
No. And the heroin and everything else. Everything's done. Everything turned out in your favor. But what about your arrest? Is that on your record?
I signed the paperwork through my lawyer to get it annulled. I got a thing from the county attorney. They sent it into court, and they highly recommend it. And I don't think that's going to be a problem at all, because everybody's behind me. Even law enforcement and everything else. The selectman of the town sent a letter to the county attorney, which was very nice. They were all behind me. So many people have been behind me. They should all be gone by the first part of April. I think it's a court date for that, the hearing for that.
Do you need to be in attendance for that?
I don't know, but I think I may be sitting in the back of the courtroom trying to hide. Maybe I'll wear red hair or something. They won't recognize me.
You're going to have to, because everybody recognizes you. You might want to consider running for mayor or for some sort of political office, because these type of things do happen where people who have been thrust in positions like you have been, they do run for office and they're successful. Is that something that you might think about?
Negative.
Okay.
I have no interest in politics whatsoever.
I'm with you.
I would like people to listen to me, though, and really keep an eye on their neighborhoods. It's up to them. The police can't do it. Even if you don't like your neighbor, the favor you give him catching a guy breaking into his house, maybe the favor he returns a week from now. You just don't know. I find myself much more heightened alert. Cars that go slow by here and stuff like that, or slow around the neighborhood, I keep an eye on them.
Have you thought about getting a home security system?
I would love to. I can't afford it. I'm on a fixed income. I'm retired. I cannot afford it. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
I am my security system.
Do you have a dog?
No. I have a cat, cats, but they didn't do anything. They just let him rob the place.
And it's a good thing he didn't do anything to them. Dennis Fleming, thanks so much for taking the time out.
And thank you very much. And I want to thank everyone out there that listens to this, that I am very much appreciative of the support I got from across the country. I mean, it's just been unbelievable. And thank you so, so much.